I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Hello.
Hi, Jay.
Welcome, one and all, to the Tigna 10th anniversary celebration of the Higna meetings. This is definitely a special occasion as far as I'm concerned. It is a meeting. Could everybody please check their mics? Thank you. Can we open this meeting and this celebration with a moment of silence for the still sick and suffering inside and outside of these rooms? And without further ado, I would like to introduce the first speaker of tonight. We will be speaking for approximately 20 minutes. There is a couple of minute break in between, actually five in between speakers. There will be a section in the middle of the meeting for open sharing, so please hang around for that. But our first speaker is somebody that I met 8+ years ago when I stumbled into, after seeing a website that had a meeting on it, and it was the Higna website, and it had a meeting on Saturday. And I did the calculation to get me to the meeting and came into this room, and it was Steve, Debs, and maybe a couple other people, but I remembered those two, and sat down, and this was my first online meeting that wasn't a phone meeting, because I had found the phone meetings a couple of months before, but found this was the first meeting that I found that was online, and it was like, okay, and I met Steve, I met Debs, and I met a couple other people, and I said, okay, I'm going to come to this meeting on a regular basis. And they told me about something else shortly, either the first meeting or the second meeting the next week, about some place down in Australia that probably had a meeting that they had heard about. And that was my beginnings with online recovery. And it's been a phenomenal trip. And the reality of it is I've had the fortune to have Steve come to my house several times. And some of the synchronicity is that my roommate at the time had already met Steve before I had found these meetings. And it just shows me the synchronicity of this fellowship and the reality that this is a small, small world. No matter how big the globe is, because of online, I get to experience people from around the globe, their experience, strength, and hope, and how they recover. And each and every one of them helped me recover. So thank you for all being here. And Steve, would you share with us your experience, strength, and hope with Higna?
Thank you, Jay.
Jay, hi, Steve.
I'm an addict. My name's Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
And yeah, this is an emotional day for me. First of these meetings was actually on the 19th of November, 2011, which is actually kind of yesterday in terms of kind of years, but This is the first meeting we started here. I'm not really sure what I want to share about in terms of the history of where we're at, but I do want to start off by saying, making it really clear, I think, for me, this is for me, but this isn't about me, and it's not about any one or group of individuals. You know, we're here because of the us, you know, the we that makes Narcotics Anonymous what it is. You know, and you know, we're here because of the higher, you know, the loving higher power that we speak of, you know, a lot in our meetings. And I'm really conscious. One of my favourite bits of NA literature is one of our earliest service pamphlets, and it talks about the higher power of the fellowship. That's not our higher power. Doesn't belong to any one individual. It belongs to the fellowship. It belongs to us, you know. And you know, that's the higher power for me that we invite into all our efforts. Carried a message to the still suffering addict. You know, it's the higher power that we invite into our business meetings when we're looking to, you know, seek. You know, the will and power of that, of that, you know, to help us to make the right decisions and be in the right places at the right time. You know, and that's something that's guided me in my recovery for as long as I've been in recovery. For those that might not know, I just recently celebrated 29 years. You know, I think for most of my recovery has been involved in this. It's been involved in service to the groups, finding ways and means to carry the message. I mean, my early recovery, for the first 6 months of my recovery, I was in a facility for a while, and I spent like three and a half months in a small recovery town on the west coast, on the south coast of England. And there were, you know, there was meetings every day. There was a lot of fellowship. It was a vibrant kind of local community of people in recovery, all helping each other and supporting each other. Mostly new in recovery, and there was a lot of enthusiasm. There was a lot of passion for service. There was, you know, there was a lot going on. That's what I'm saying. And then, you know, from my journey took me back to the town that I lived in before I got clean, and there was no NA there. They'd never heard of NA. There was a lot of the other fellowship about. There was a bit of the other fellowship about, but NA in this country back then was really quite new. You know, it was less than 10 years old. I'm often mindful of that. I think 1963 in California. That's what it was like. You know, it was 50 miles in any direction to the next nearest meeting, which meant a 100-mile round trip to get to a meeting and back. You know, but that same kind of enthusiasm and camaraderie and fellowship that I found that I encountered and embraced in that town on the south coast of England was kind of still in my heart. You know, and I knew, you know, that. You know, the other fellowship wasn't enough for me. I was going to those meetings, but it wasn't enough for me. So, you know, within a few months of getting back home, we started our first NA meeting in that town. It was in 1993. And it was small, you know, a couple of people and a one-bar electric fire in a tiny little room in a facility that we managed to get. In fact, the first facility that we managed to get changed their minds at the last minute. So the first meeting in that town took place under a tree in a churchyard. Just down the road, and did for the next 3 weeks, I think it was, until we found a venue that was willing to accept us. You know, but what that meant to me was, you know, that it was important that I was actually being there. I was willing to, you know, sit under that tree and let people know that we were there. And we got a couple of members that turned up. You know, sadly neither of them stayed. They kind of went off and did their own thing. You know. But I remember what that felt like, you know, and I remember, you know, how exciting it was. was to be involved in that, you know, to be forging something new, you know, to be bringing our message, you know, of hope and freedom from active addiction, you know, to that place, you know, and how it felt, you know, and it took a year or two, you know, but eventually, you know, those meetings kind of grew and did what they did, you know, and I think before I left, there was another meeting in the same town and all that kind of thing was going on, you know, and it was exciting. But my journey took me somewhere else, you know, my for some reason, I think I was 11 years clean when I left that place. And I'd been in service to that meeting for that long, in one capacity or another. So my journey took me up to the Outer Hebrides, and those that know me well know that story. You know, it was just a choice that we made, a decision to go and do something different. My partner and I, our kids had finished growing up, and they'd all kind of pretty much left home, and we decided to go on an adventure. God only knows why we picked the Outer Hebrides, but we did. And I did shitload. I did loads of research, but the one thing I'd forgotten to think about was there any NA there? And of course there wasn't. You know, and for a little while, I kind of, my meetings became the occasional visit I would make to the mainland. I'd been involved in a bit of region service and stuff before I left, you know, but not much, you know, and life got in the way and health got in the way and I stopped doing that, you know, so I didn't have the connections and I kind of let go of a lot of the connections, you know. I was kind of thinking, well, you know, I've got this clean time, I can cope, I can do this, you know, I don't need to be going to meetings every day and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I just got on with living life. And that went on for a number of years, six, in fact, you know. And then I stopped going to the mainland. I stopped going to the mainland as frequently. So I stopped going to meetings altogether. You know, it was like the one or two meetings a year that I'd been going to, maybe three or four at the most. Just kind of died away, you know, and I was clean, I was still in recovery, I was still kind of in my mind part of Narcotics Anonymous, but I wasn't, you know, I was making the choice how I engaged, and I wasn't engaging. I thought I could do it on my own. Well, I'm not even sure if I thought that, you know, I was kind of complacent, but it didn't even get into my thinking. And then in 2009, life turned up for me, you know, and I ended up quite ill. I came very close. I couldn't work. I had to give up my job. I couldn't drive. I had to give up driving. You know, financially, we weren't in a very good place. My partner kind of relapsed. Went back out. You know. Then one day she just walked out of the house, you know, and my life felt, and my whole world collapsed. My whole world fucking collapsed. And I had no clue. I remember this horrible empty feeling inside that I didn't know what to do with. But something inside of me reminded me, or, you know, it's you know, it's like a higher power moment, definitely a higher power moment. You know, I was kind of in a place that was very similar to when I first got here. You know, I was desperate. I was isolated. I felt terribly lonely and completely lost. But I'd remembered that I'd seen NA in the UK at a website, and I kind of just went and logged onto it, found it, logged onto it. And to my utter amazement, I found meetings online, the old UK NA Jabba Chat meetings. And by then I was like 16 years clean or something like that, you know, and I found, and I kind of re-engaged again. I got back involved in NA, and that started with me just attending meetings, you know, funny things, in text only. So you type your sharing, It's like sharing in short, choppy sentences. You learned quite quickly that, you couldn't type an entire story and then press send. It was, because people would be sat at the other end of the screen, like twiddling their thumbs, going about and doing something else, probably. So it was an interesting experience. But I do remember feeling really nervous. I felt really incredibly nervous. I felt like I really did feel like a complete newcomer. And a lot of ways I was, because I said I'd kind of let go of working a program in my life on a daily basis. So I had to relearn it all. And I was kind of swallowed up pretty quickly into service. It's really lovely to see some faces here tonight that were there back then. They're going, oh, well, yeah, cool, you've got a shitload of clean time, come and be of service. And I ended up doing service in those meetings for a while, chaired them, did a kind of greeter and all that kind of good stuff, and then it went on and on, but it didn't feel right. We talk a lot in NA about coffee pot and resentment, and it's an absolute truth that Higna was started on the back of a coffee pot and resentment. There's no doubt about that. Some of the best things that have ever happened in NA, I suspect, have been a result of that, but it's kind of not like that really. It's kind of different really. But what I realized is that those meetings I was going to in that place weren't really meetings. We didn't have any autonomy. We didn't have any, didn't feel like NA. It felt like something that was far more organized, in a different kind of way. The groups were answerable to a service body, because they were funded and run by a service body, and it just didn't feel right. And we tried to get we tried to get those groups to be self-supporting, to be more in line with the traditions, but they just wouldn't have it. So I mean, at that time, my friend that's here tonight lives in a small remote town in the middle of nowhere. There was another member that lived on another Scottish island, and the fourth member, there was four of us. The fourth member, he's a recluse. He's very rarely comes out of his house. He's an absolute lovely man, that I'd done a lot of I did a bit of service with, whilst I was doing those first lot of online meetings. Got to know him really well, and the four of us kind of got together. So, well, let's go and do this. Let's do something different. Let's get a meeting going that is what we understand an NA meeting to be, self-supporting, and there to carry the message to the still suffering addict wherever possible in a different way, And I remember reading, I think it was 2010-ish, I read an article in the NAWS News about a group of addicts in Slovakia, the then known as, I think, called Narka Skopje, on Skype. And I was inspired by this story about this individual that had gone out to his home country, found a bunch of addicts celebrating recovery with 12 packs of beer because they weren't using heroin. And he said, maybe I can help you. And I can do that possibly on Skype. And he set up what, as far as I'm aware, the first Skype NA meeting there ever was. But it was inspiring. I remember being inspired by that, thinking, we could do that. We could go, move out of this text thing. And maybe we can actually start talking to each other. So the four of us thought about it. We kind of, set up a website. I'm not sure if the website came first. I don't think it did, but we got ourselves a Skype account, and we thought of a name, and we got together and we started meeting. And actually, one of the very earliest meetings we ever did was a hybrid meeting. I'm not sure if it was the first or second meeting, something like that. I've got an idea that individual's in the room with us tonight, who helped us do that. And it was linked to a local area convention in the Midlands. And I've got to say, it was one of the most emotional things I've ever done. I'm sat in my little garret on the Isle of Lewis, and it was 40 miles. It was 2 days by plane or boat to the nearest meeting where I was, to the nearest NA meeting. And to be able to be connected with a bunch of people in a room in a convention, and the few of us that were online in that meeting that were actually online and unable to get, you know, to meetings, was just emotional. I remember being full of tears and thinking about it, you know, it was amazing. So that was like 2011, 2012, something, 2011, early part 2012. You know, but I look at Hignor today, I look at us today, and I'm utterly blown away. You know, because I don't think any of the four of us in that first meeting ever realised or ever thought that it would become what it's become. You know. We were just trying to kind of reach out to the still suffering addict that was in isolated, lonely. Places that, you know, in places that they couldn't get to meetings, and it's grown, you know. I remember at one point there was one meeting earlier on in Hignor's life that I suddenly realized for the first time there were members in that meeting from six continents. And being again blown away. My, you know, this experience has been one of being constantly mind blown. You know, it's the whole idea that we can connect in this way that we do in these platforms. It's just phenomenal.
Hello.
You know, it's. The idea that first NA meeting I ever went to was in a, I got taken to it in the short bus from the facility that I was in. And there was an addict in this meet in that meeting. He shared a story about two addicts. I can't remember who they were or where they were from. But someone had communicated to them from somewhere in northern Thailand that they wanted to start an NA meeting. And the story was about these two guys that had gone to Thailand with a rucksack full of NA literature and a starter pack, and hitchhiked up through Thailand and got up into the north to start an NA meeting. I think I was about maybe 3 or 4 weeks clean. And I always remember that moment because the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And I got this sudden picture. I got this picture of what NA really is, about how it is a global thing. You know, we're a global fellowship. You know, addiction doesn't care who you are, where you are, what you are, what color you are, how much you've got, what you have, how much you have, how little you have. You know, all we care about in NA is, you know, are you an addict? If you're willing to come and tell us that, we're willing to offer our help. We're willing to reach out our hands, no matter what it takes, to carry the message of what we found. You know, and the online meetings for me can do that in the way that no other form of Narcotics Anonymous meeting ever could. Outside of world conventions, and I mean, it's almost like we have like almost like a world convention every week, you know, in online meetings. Now, I don't know how many people are here tonight that are from outside of the UK, different parts around the world, you know, but we're connected, you know. I can feel all of you, you know. I can sit here tonight and I can feel all of you. I can see you all in my mind's eye, all sat in your own little spaces with your own little computers and your own little microphones and your own little setup, you know, sitting there comfortably with your cups of tea, your cups of coffee, whatever it is you're doing, you know, like feeling the connection of the fact that there's a whole bunch of other addicts sat in the same space, you know, and then it sort of transcends time and space. It's just fucking mind blowing. I mean, wow, you know, who knew? You know, We over the years, I think we always had an idea that, the ethos. What is Hygner? What is Hygner? Hygner's always been self-supporting. Hygner's always been conscious of the fact that it's not us, it's you, it's us. It's not the individuals behind the screen that push the buttons and make things happen. It's everybody in the meetings that makes them possible. And I'm always conscious of that. Thank you for being here, for making this possible, is something I say a lot. And it's over the years, people have come along and said, "Well, could we start a meeting?" Yeah, of course. Here's the keys. Jay mentioned that. I remember saying to Jay, "There's the keys, man. Start a meeting. Go for it. That's what we're here for." First it was one, and then there was, I think, the second meeting we started was on a Wednesday, and then we added a Monday night meeting, and then we've added a Friday night meeting, and so on. And it doesn't sound like a lot. 11 meetings a week doesn't sound like a lot, but for me, it's huge. And it's been kind of slow and careful and measured and thoughtful, and it hasn't just kind of blown up. We tried that during the pandemic. We blew a couple of extra meetings up and put them on the schedule and stuff, and they didn't last, because I'm a real believer in the sort of, that as a fellowship, we need to kind of grow in our own space, at our own pace, and if we try and force it, it falls over. And that's proved to be true, I think, for these meetings anyway. We can become victims of our own success sometimes. But what we've got is 11 incredibly strong NA meetings that exist under this umbrella, that we all call Hygner. No, I was Hygner, and it's, I just love you guys, I can remember, sitting in that little garret in this little attic room, dead of winter, whatever, just feeling connected. And that's what I needed, and it got me through that difficult time. And online recovery, online NA got me through that difficult time, not just in meetings, but in forums, other places where I started reconnecting with the world and started rebuilding my recovery. Started finding a way back to some kind of sanity, because I think I felt quite insane that first meeting I ended up in 2009. And I'm just so grateful. Sometimes feel I ought to walk away and let you guys get on with it. Probably I ought to. I don't know, whatever, It's hard to let go of something you love. It's hard to let go of something that you feel so passionate about. But I know, I look at where we're at today, and sounds a bit morbid. If I got run over by a bus tomorrow, I know that Narcotics, I know that the Highlands and Islands groups would continue. In the same way that I knew 19 years ago, when I left those meetings in that town in the West Country, that NA was going to be there, because it had become greater than the sum of its parts. And I think that's, that's the loving higher power that we talked about. The loving higher power of the fellowship is in these rooms. You guys have brought it here in your own way, added to that, made it what it is. So I'm grateful for being stuck in a place where there was nothing, and out of that came what we have, today. And the pandemic, I'm not even going to go there. I'm not sure other people are going to share about that sort of stuff. Care for what you wish for and all that shit. The politics of it all, I don't care. Because I know that decision 10 years ago came from a higher power. And I know that what we have today comes from a higher power. If this wasn't right and didn't work properly, he wouldn't still be here. So I have complete faith that, as long as we continue to do that and invite that power into our decision making, and allow it to have some influence over the choices that we make about what we do next and how we do what we do, And I will go on, this will go on. Hignett will continue to grow and continue to be an important part of people's lives, an important part of mine, until I'm too old to care, whatever. So thank you for letting me share. I don't know how long I've shared for, probably enough. I'm going to shut up. Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you all for being here.